Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are halfway to the weekend. It is a beautiful, incredible Wednesday afternoon, and you heard the cold weather is on the way. Hi, I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. We have a lot to get to this afternoon, and we're going to talk about the Trump dance. There's a big controversy about the Trump dance because now some people are saying, okay, now wait a minute. You Republicans didn't want anybody to take a knee. You Republicans don't like it when somebody wears colors like pride colors or something like that around a sporting event. You Republicans don't like it when people bring politics into sports. Well, now the Democrats are complaining about the Trump dance, saying that that's bringing politics into sports. But is it? I did the Trump dance yesterday. We had a great show, and I decided to celebrate the show yesterday by doing the Trump dance in my office. I mean, it's kind of like a, you know, just kind of celebrating the show was a great show, so I just got into the Trump dance. That video is posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, which is an extension of our show. And sometimes stuff happens live while we're on the air on the Facebook page. So I hope you'll join me. And if you're not there yet, join me. It's Scoot on the Air Facebook. Would love to have you. You can comment on what we post, and you can also comment on the comments. Read some of the comments, and if you feel like posting and calling some people out, feel free to do that. So anyway, yeah, that video is posted there. So we're going to talk about the Trump dance and whether or not it is a political statement. Also, this is breaking news this afternoon. A judge has sentenced Jose Ibarra to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Jose Ibarra is the illegal immigrant who killed Lincoln Riley. She was a nursing student. Beautiful person, but even if she wasn't beautiful, it's still a tragedy. The judge found him guilty of each of the 10 counts he was facing. It was a bench trial. They didn't want to have a jury. So the judge decided. The prosecution did not seek the death penalty in the case. He was looking down most of the time, and I noticed, you know, when there were important parts, he was wearing headphones, obviously a translator, an interpreter. But when Lincoln Riley's mother was talking about her and crying, he wasn't wearing the headphones. I guess they didn't want him to hear that, which is sad. I should have forced him to hear it. Should have made him listen to that. But I noticed that when they were talking about the person who died, he wasn't wearing the headphones. And I think he should have been forced to do that. It's a true tragedy. And so now we put him in prison for the rest of his life? No, that's the guy who needs to be deported. Those are the people that need to be deported immediately. We shouldn't have to spend money on him. And over time, it's going to cost a lot of money to keep him in prison for the rest of his life. And put him in prison somewhere else. It's going to be too nice in America. A prison in America is going to be too nice for him. So anyway, that's breaking news that just happened. You've heard in our news that the city council is going to discuss safety at second line parades this afternoon. This is following the mass shooting at Sunday's Second Line Parade. This is not the first time there's been violence during a Second Line Parade. Second Line Parades are very cultural. I mean, they're broad in their appeal. I mean, anybody can do a Second Line Parade. But these Second Line Parades where there's been violence, some of these Second Line Parades are very cultural to the African-American community. And does violence at the second line parades hurt the African-American culture in New Orleans? And I'm not really sure how you stop it. You know, Oliver Thomas was there. He was talking. Oliver Thomas is going to announce soon that he's running for mayor. Oliver Thomas is talking about how we need to make the parade safer. We can't stop people from carrying illegal weapons. And he's right about that. But what he doesn't touch on is the source of the problem. And none of these leaders, none of these public officials want to address the real problem. And the lowest common denominator of this problem is children having children. Because, the conversation now is that these people who were involved in, like, the shooting, they don't have a relationship with people in the parade. They don't have a relationship with anybody. They're just sort of loners. To some degree, they're loners. I mean, they might be in a gang, but they're not part of mainstream society. And that's the fault of the parents who brought him into the world and didn't raise him. Didn't even try to raise him. And Mayor LaToya Cantrell is in Rio de Janeiro at another climate summit. And as I said yesterday on the show, I wish she would come back and tell us what she's learning. She's traveling on my money and your money. She's traveling on our money. And she's traveling there because she needs to go because she's the mayor of New Orleans. Well, since she doesn't come back and tell us what she's learned, since she doesn't come back and tell us how it's going to benefit the city of New Orleans, I haven't heard anything about that, then basically she's ripping us off and she's just going on a trip. The arrogance, the entitlement of this woman is really overwhelming. I mean, you would think with all of these climate summits that she's going to, that she would be a freaking genius when it comes to climate change. I'd like to sit out and ask her a couple of tough questions about it, see if she can answer one of them. But it's just a damn shame that the appearance is. The appearance is that she's just taking a joy trip. I don't even know how many meetings she goes to. We don't know. She's in Rio de Janeiro. You think she's just going to that summit meeting? I don't think so. She is ripping off the citizens of New Orleans and those people who voted for her and those people who support her. She is ripping you off. She's ripping you off with the tax money that she's spending. Because we don't hear anything about what she's learning and how it's going to benefit us. You know, if she wants to do this, see, if I were mayor, I wouldn't be smart enough. See, if I were mayor and I went to a summit meeting, I would come back and tell you what I learned and how it's going to help the city of New Orleans. I might do a little sightseeing, but I guarantee you, I would come back and I would tell you everything that I learned at that summit meeting and how I think it's going to benefit New Orleans. And I would make sure that you knew that that trip that I took was worth the taxpayer dollars that I spent. But this woman doesn't care. She shows no signs of caring. So anyway, let's see what she wants us to unite in prayer. I mean, that's a nice thought, Mayor, but that's not going to get the job done. I'm not questioning the power of prayer, but that's not going to get the job done. And until you and Oliver Thomas and everybody else starts recognizing the real problem, until you start recognizing the real problem, don't you blame anybody else for what's going on. So we'll see what happens. Boy, if I ran for mayor, you know, I'd be in some great debates with these people. I really would be. All right, the Trump dance. Is the Trump dance a political statement? A number of sports figures have been doing it to celebrate an accomplishment in sports. Like a sack or a touchdown or an LPGA golfer from the UK did it walking down the fairway the other day. CNN host Abby Phillips, who I really like. I think she's really good at what she does, has a great, great temperament on the air. Abby Phillips said Republicans were losing their minds over politics in sports, and now they're supporting the Trump dance. Is the Trump dance different from taking a knee or showing pride colors, for example? And if it is different, why is it different? Is the Trump dance a political statement? We're going to get into that mainly in the second hour. We'll have the latest on Trump's selection of Matt Gaetz as Attorney General of the United States. I wrote a blog about this, and this blog is about, why do you ignore the Republicans who are critical of Trump's selection of Matt Gaetz, and then you want to criticize me? Listen, a lot of Republicans are agreeing with me. A lot of Republicans who campaign for and with Donald Trump agree with me about Matt Gaetz. So why are people ignoring that? I'm going to share some of your comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page just a little bit later. Because it's really fascinating that, people want to blame me for coming down on Matt Gaetz when a lot of Republicans who they support are coming down on the Matt Gaetz appointment. Trump has picked his head for the FCC, and on Fox News, Brendan Carr, who will head the FCC, says he's going to punish CBS over their interview with Kamala Harris during the campaign. Is this part of Donald Trump's talk about retaliation against those who disagree with him? And I'm going to tell you why they want to punish CBS over the interview with Kamala Harris. And it is so bogus that it scares the F out of me. Because this, I think, is part of this retaliatory mentality against people who disagree. And I'm going to love this. We're going to talk about this in the 3 o'clock hour. At the age of 79, Rod Stewart is going back on tour of North America. I've seen Rod Stewart numerous times, and I will go see him again. But for some people, maybe that's not good. Rod Stewart, 79. I think he still looks great. I mean, he's 79, and for 79, the guy looks great. His fashion sense is impeccable. He's one of the best-dressed rockers ever. And he just looks great. And so, maybe his moves are a little slower than they used to be. Same thing with Mick Jagger. Some people are okay with that. Some people think that's great. But there's some people who think that, these aging rockers, they really should leave us with the memory that we had in the past. So is it good for these people like Rod Stewart to still be touring at 79? We're going to talk about this in the 3 o'clock hour. And what aging rocker have you seen that made you wish you didn't have that memory of them when they were older? And you wish you still had the old memory from the past. You wish you hadn't seen them. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Ian Hoke is off today doing a business behind the scenes at WWL. So Coleman is our studio producer. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I am great. Ready to rock and roll.
Hell yeah. So I was thinking about this Trump dance that you were saying, whether or not it's a political statement or whether it's appropriate for sporting events. And that brought me back to when you saw the singing Trump. Now, at any point, did you feel like the singing Trump was kind of political? Because he's saying, the Trump dance is a dance. Like, did you feel like the singing Trump was political in nature in any way, shape, or form?
Well, yeah, because he was imitating Donald Trump, during the campaign. So he was political. But, it was funny. And I got a post from some woman on Facebook, and she criticized me. She was saying, why were you there? To, make fun of Trump supporters? No, man, I was there because comedy rules supreme, and it was comedy. And it wasn't about laughing at Trump per se. It was about just really respecting this guy who is an unbelievable impersonator. And he not only did Trump, but he did a host of other people. And it was political, but it wasn't totally political. To me, it was just a night of entertainment.
So here's a question that's kind of based on what a texter said. What if somebody does this Trump dance during the national anthem?
Okay, let's bring that up. That's a good question, too. What if somebody does the Trump dance during the national anthem? And we're going to talk about whether or not the Trump dance is a political statement. All right, if you want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about, and really, I'd like to kind of focus, if anybody has any suggestions on what the city council might discuss concerning safety at a second-line parade. What are they going to do? Have more police officers? There are already police officers there. And these little thug punks, some of these people are freaking teenagers. And NOPD arrested a 13-year-old who's threatening schools. In fact, two more New Orleans schools were dismissed today because of threats. They ought to grab these little punks and string them up by their Michael Jordans. You know, this is just, this, their shoes, okay? It's not their neck, okay? Just string them up by their little shoes. This is just really sad that like a 13-year-old kid would do this. I mean, when I was young, there were 13-year-olds who were kind of mischievous. But this is ridiculous. And why is this happening? Why is all of this happening? What is the root problem of all of this? I think I'm the only person in the media, and I'm telling you, national media, local, I think I'm the only person in the media who has addressed this issue. That the real problem is young people. I mean, young people banging each other. Like a guy just like bangs girls. A young boy just banging girls. And he doesn't give a blank about what happens. And that's tolerable. It's acceptable. Not with everybody, but with enough people to where it's a problem. And LaToya Cantrell and Oliver Thomas will not touch this problem. They won't touch it. But it's a problem. Because then you have kids without parents. You've got kids that children brought into the world. And the children that brought them into the world are still kids themselves. This is not acceptable on any level, and yet the United States of America has a system that rewards this behavior. So what's going to stop this kind of violence? Unless we address that problem, nothing. If you want to join us, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. All right, I know we're going to talk about some heavy stuff this afternoon, but you know what? Let's not forget what a beautiful afternoon it is. All right, so the judge in the case of the murder of nursing student Lakin Riley has sentenced Jose Ibarra to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He was here in this country illegally, and now he's been arrested, sentenced to life in prison. No.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And don't let them in. So, this guy should be deported right away. I agree with Trump. The criminals need to be deported right away. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. LSU is out of the AP poll. Totally out of it. And a lot of questions. You've heard this in our news. Questions are being asked about Brian Kelly. I started asking those questions couple of weeks ago, just asking questions about Brian Kelly. And after that embarrassing loss to Florida, Florida's no powerhouse this year. And LSU was embarrassed 27-16. What's ironic is LSU is not even ranked, and Tulane moves up from 25-20. Tulane is 9-2 and 7-0 in AAC play. They shut out Navy 35-0 on Saturday, and Tulane plays Army coming up. The top five teams are Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana. And even though Penn State's like number four in the country, I don't think they can win a big game. I don't know what it is about Penn State and their coach, but they just can't seem to win really big games. I mean, they've got a great ranking, but, you know, let's see what they do. I mean, I don't think Penn State can beat any of those teams in the top five. I don't think they can beat a lot of teams when it comes to a really important game. So I don't know. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but we'll see what happens. All right, so what is going to stop the violence that took place at that second line parade? Let's go to New Orleans. And Giselle, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Giselle.
Hello, Mr. Scoots. Good afternoon, everybody. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Okay, so about this violence, you know, I'm glad you actually are touching on that subject today. With this violence, it's the discipline level has actually changed to where, you know, a lot of the parents are, you know, some of them, most of them are feeling like they're on this level with these kids of they're equal. There aren't consequences for actions. And before I go any deeper, to touch on with the mayor, she has not shown up on camera for any of these instances since she actually was elected. I may have seen her a couple of times. She cut a few ribbons. Is she still in Brazil? You know,
I think she is.
Questions. You know, so this is my thing. I'm 47 years old. Yes, I am an African-American woman. But let me tell you something. I have this particular kid. She is 24 years old. I can fast forward to 12 years ago, how the system literally failed me to the point where, you know, when you discipline your child, it's consequences, taking things away. I took the phone away. You know.
Well, wait, okay. Well, tell me what Giselle, tell me what the consequence was for you taking your child's phone away.
Oh, my goodness. The consequence was she decided that she would start stealing out of my room and doing things like that.
How old was she when she took the phone away? When you took her phone away?
I took her phone away. She was 14, so she hadn't had a phone for a year. When I finally got her one, she stole it out of my purse. I went outside, got a switch. I said, every time you lie, I'm going to hit you with this switch on your hands that you stole with. It got to the point where she went to school, nothing, you know, transpiring, because I done got to the point where I have to literally put a padlock on my door. The school got involved. Fast forward, Mr. Scoot, I'm in court. I'm in parenting class, Triple P Parenting, the city of New Orleans, okay, mandated that I get psychiatric counseling. Nothing now is going on with my daughter. Fast forward now, she's 24. If it was not Mr. Scoot for Judge Ziblich in the New Orleans Parish Court System asking me to go to a bench trial, I would have got 30 years for whipping my child with a switch. Mind you, I've literally even had on record where I've had the police come. Remember they used to do the scared straight thing where you could call the police because she was sexting, right? So I called the police at 13, you're sexting. I'm, you know, pretending like I'm going to have her arrested. I'm telling you, on record, the system does nothing for behavior issues. Mind you, there's also the FINS program, which I never heard about until after I was almost threatened. Yes, literally, sir. 30 years in prison for whipping my child on the hands with a switch after there's evidence of padlocks. I've come home, college, you know, when you get to the end in 2012, I remember getting out at 8 p.m. She had guys in. Mind you, she's 13. She can be home alone. I do shakedowns in the room. Trust me, it was a lot of, you have to be a relentless parent. I was doing shakedowns. Look, I'm going through there at any moment. I'm ripping things out. Parents have to nip this in the bud. When you get a cell phone, you can block stuff. You put their age in this phone. They want to sue behind cell phone content. When a child gets a phone, it can be blocked according to their age and what the.
What is your daughter like now at 24?
Oh my God, wayward. Do you hear me? Wayward.
Does she have children?
Wayward. No, thank God. She works now. She has a serious work ethic, and I know she gets that from her father and myself. You know, I'm not condoning no single-parent homes. Her father actually wasn't in her life since she was probably like 3 months or so, then saw her again when she was 10 years old. But I don't think that's okay. This single parent home and yay, I'm independent. No, like we have to get a handle on household standards.
I'm going to have to get to a break here, but there are a couple of things I want to cover. First of all, you know, look, there's no handbook for parenting. So, you know, we all make mistakes as parents. And I would recommend that nobody use a switch to spank your kid. You can spank your children, but when you use a switch, it elevates the concern. So I would just suggest that you not use any foreign object to hit your kids with. And it is legal to spank your children. But looking back to Sel, when your daughter was even younger, were you a permissive parent? Do you feel like you disciplined her properly when she was really young?
Oh, yes, sir. So okay. I'm talking about lines, take the video games, you know, take the TV literally out of the room, you know, physically allowing them to see that these things are privileges. Also learning in the Triple P parenting class, different methods of parenting, which, yes, I did learn beyond the class. You know, derriere spanking is actually preferable, I respected learning that, Mr. Scoop, because I'm actually kind of in, you know, doing behaviors that I kind of endured. You feel me?
Right.
And like I said, my discipline was at overkill, but thinking that a switch would be a milder method. But learning that the derriere method is just enough or not even. Like I said, there's lines they can write. That's a chance for you to study English, study punctuation, study penmanship.
When you look back, you know, some kids are just, they're just bad kids. When you look back and you think about disciplining your child, do you think you were laxed in disciplining your child early when she was really young? Or do you think that maybe your child was just a bad child?
What I feel like is she had some definite bad tendencies. Honestly, to really answer your question, to be a single mom, being in college, working full time, I feel like before I took this overload, I could have had more help. You know, been maybe in parenting class before the issues transpired, had her maybe in therapy. I'm so busy trying to raise her and get my life. I feel like we have to notice therapy necessary situations early. You know what I mean? I feel like I could have used therapy because of, you know, what I was going through. She could have been in child behavioral therapy to learn how to channel her emotions and her behavior. Yeah. So, yes, I do feel like I did notice some behavior issues, but in the moment you think it's typical. Yeah. It could have been nipped in the bud with counseling. You know, the city intervening on both of us together as a whole. Instead, they chose to separate us.
Hmm. Giselle, listen, I have to get to a break. I'm so glad you called the show. I hope you're okay. I hope the best for your daughter as well. Sometimes, you know, you do all you can do and you still end up with a bad kid. But sometimes that there are things that you can do very, very early in their life, because there are a lot of kids that never end up being bad kids. In fact, the majority of kids are not bad kids. They're just a relatively few compared to the population that are the bad ones. So there are methods. There are things that can be done. We've got to take a break here. We'll come back. We're talking about the shootings that took place at this Second Line parade, and the city council is meeting this afternoon to talk about this. I mean, but what can be done? I mean, what can be done other than really focusing on the moment children are born? If you have a suggestion, and man, I loved hearing that real life story from Giselle. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. But people should be allowed to get together and have second line parades and not worry about some little thug punks with guns, because they have no respect for themselves, no respect for life. They're not that bright. And they just, they think that the only course of action is to use your damn gun because their reputation has been disrespected. I mean, what kind of reputation do they have in the first place? What, your rep is like somehow, you know, disrespected and you're going to pull out a gun and shoot somebody? It just doesn't make sense. We'll be back.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. It was really windy last night, and we've got this cold front coming here today, and we're going to feel it later tonight, and we're going to really feel it by tomorrow morning. I don't know. I'm ready for it. I mean, it's November 20th. Bring it on. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Let me get to a couple of your text messages. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the city council meeting this afternoon to discuss safety at second line parades. First of all, why is this a problem? Well, it's a problem because there are young thug punks out there, and they have been taught by their older peers that they have nothing if they don't have a gun, that a gun buys you respect. You are nothing without a gun. I mean, imagine that. Imagine growing up in a society where you're made to feel like you're nothing unless you have a gun. Now, look, let's be careful here. This is not everybody that's part of that community, because there are the majority of people in that community are great people. But there are enough of these thug punks that it's sad that the politicians don't address the real problem, which I think starts with children having children. You've got these, like, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids, and then you've got the older teenagers and the young adults banging these young teenage girls. I mean, like 13 years old, they're banging them. I mean, I don't want to be graphic here, but why not? We got to be graphic. I mean, you've got to know what's going on, and that is what's going on. It's not addressed. Do you hear Mayor Cantrell addressing that? Do you hear Oliver Thomas addressing that? They won't touch it. They won't touch it. Because it's too controversial. It shouldn't be controversial to address what I think is the real problem. Children are not supposed to raise children. Children are supposed to be children. Here is a text that says, kids are out of control today at home and at school. I had no problem with mine. That's awesome. Here's a text that says, Scoot, no child is bad from the start. They only imitate their atmosphere. You know, I'd like to think that that's true, but I do wonder if sometimes maybe there aren't kids that are just born with just bad DNA, and they're just evil little you-know-whats from the very beginning. I don't know. I know that bad kids come from good homes where parents have tried to do their best. So I don't know the answer to that. I'd like to think, and I generally believe that everybody is born good, and they're taught to be bad. And as I mentioned, it's older peers. It's what the kids see. Man, if you're an adult and you're bringing different people over to bang you, if you're an adult and you're having different people come over and you're banging them, you think the kids don't know what's going on? I mean, don't be naive. They know exactly what's going on. And guess what? They're imitating that behavior. And then kids show up and they're not even prepared to deal with it. They don't care about them. They don't want to deal with them. Here's a text that says, I had the switch, the rope, the extension cord, and no problem with me. And I graduated from college and no daddy around. And my mother made sure that I went to church and Sunday school. Well, obviously, you know, your parent is teaching you the right things to do. And so, you know, that's a good thing. That's about parental involvement. And I do believe that there are a lot of great single parents out there. And it's not just about men missing from the household. It'd be great if men were there It would be great if men were responsible for the children that they bring into this world, but there are so many males that are just taught to bang somebody and walk away. They don't care. And who gets stuck with it? The young girl. I mean, this is a bigger problem than some people might think because you don't hear it addressed. But you don't have to be a sociologist or a psychologist to figure this out. When children are bringing children into the world and not raising them, these children are just directionless. And that leads them to guns and other things. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, this was the number one song in the country on this day in 1971.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, whoa, hey, hey, don't say that about Chef. Whoa. I will never forget, I was catching a flight in Memphis, and Isaac Hayes was in front of me going through the metal detector, and that's pretty much what it was in the 70s, going through a metal detector. The guy was wearing like a chain shirt, and obviously he had to remove that to get through the metal detector, but man, he was a big guy.
And he was a bad mother. Wait.
Hey, whoa, you're talking about Shaft. All right, my favorite role for Shaft, not for Shaft, my favorite role for Isaac Hayes was when he was Chef on South Park.
Yep.
How my little entrepreneur Cracker's doing today? You know, I mean, the guy was really, really funny. All right, some more text to get to about violence. I'll get to those coming up. Also, next hour, we're going to talk about the Trump dance. Is the Trump dance a political statement? Because, you know, Republicans are loving it now, and Democrats are saying, well, wait a minute, I thought you didn't want politics to be part of sports. I'm Scoot. We'll get into that next hour on WWL. It is a sunshine day. Boy, anytime we have an excuse to play this song, you know we're going to do it. Anything to just kind of demonstrate that we don't take everything too seriously. I'm Scoot on the Air. You know, when I was watching this show, I was having impure thoughts of Marcia.
Wait.
And the mother.
You know what this always reminds me of? So I think it was the Brady Bunch movie, and it was making a parody by like 70s TV. Because they were like trapped in time.
Yes.
And one of the funniest bit I think went over people's head is like when they finished singing the song on stage, they kept performing the song, but the song was fading out like the vibe. You ever notice like them old TV shows like Soul Train?
Yep.
Like the guy is still be performing, but the song is fading and getting lower and lower, and he's still like giving it his all.
Oh, wait a minute. They're lip syncing? Yes, maybe so. All right, I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. We're going to get to some of your comments from the SFTA Facebook page, and there's a lot going on there. The blog is still posted on the WWL.com website and the Facebook page. It's about stop ignoring the Republican critics of Trump's Gates appointment. You know, people who want to be critical of me for bashing the appointment of Gates to Attorney General, they're ignoring, they're Republicans, they're Trump supporters who are bashing me for criticizing the appointment when many Republicans are criticizing the appointment. So, you know, again, it's total hypocrisy. Also, this hour, I want to talk about the Trump dance, and we need to discuss whether or not this is a political statement. I want to thank Window World. I got some new windows in my apartment at West End. The windows that I had were really, really cloudy, and I got brand new windows today. I haven't seen them because I was at the station when they installed them, but I just can't wait to get home and get a better view. But I want to thank Window World. I want to thank, in particular, Arlinder Batiste, and his brother came out to install those. But Window World did a great job. Can't wait to see those. So thank you guys for that. Tonight, the CMA Awards, Country Music Awards, are on tonight. And a lot of crossover artists, you know, Post Malone is now a country artist. And we've played some music from Jelly Roll on this show. I mean, I love this guy, Jelly Roll. I want to try and get an interview with him. He's a big guy. I mean, he's enormous. He's huge. He spent time in prison. Like Post Malone, he's got tattoos on his face. He doesn't look like, you know, your average country music performer. I mean, he looks like some thug rocker who is like into bad stuff. But look, this guy spent time in prison, reflected on his life, and his music is about people who have gone through alcoholism and drug abuse. And his lyrics are very, very encouraging. They're uplifting. They're very honest. So I suggest that if you have gone through this and you want a little inspiration, check out the music of Jelly Roll and listen to his lyrics, because his songs are very, in my opinion, very, very inspiring. And I know he's going to be part of the Country Music Awards tonight. I'll watch those tonight and we'll talk about those. Hey, let me remind you that this afternoon, Mike Dutillier is on Sports Talk live from Thibodeau and the Thibodeau Regional Health System Wellness Center. It's Riverbell Classic. It's a countdown to the Riverbell Classic. It's Southland Teams, Southeast Louisiana Lions, and the Nicholls State Colonels. The game is Thursday at Guidry Stadium, and Mike Dutillier is going to be down there today from 4 to 6 at the Thibodeau Regional Health Systems Wellness Center, and that is at 602 North Arcadia Road. So tune in this afternoon, hear Mike from Thibodeau, or go by and see Mike at the location in Thibodeau. All right, we've got a lot to get to this afternoon. Coming up in the next hour, I want to talk about Rod Stewart going on tour. Rod Stewart, 79 years old, is going back on tour in North America. Is this good, or would you rather remember these aging rockers the way they used to be? Does it bother you to see them getting older? I mean, there's two different schools of thought here. And is there an aging rocker that you've seen that you wish you didn't see, because you wish you had the memories of them in the past and not the last memory that you have because they were just too old and they just couldn't do it? You know, you can't really erase what you see. I mean, sometimes we see things and like, God, I wish I could erase that. I wish I could never see that again. But you can't really erase what you see. So when you see something, it stays with you. So you know, we'll talk about that in the next hour of the show. All right, let's get to some politics. This is Scoot's News Briefs. President-elect Donald Trump has picked another television star for an important post, the nation's healthcare delivery system.
President-elect Donald Trump says he's nominating Dr. Mehmet Oz, who hosted a long-running television talk show, to lead the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Trump said that Dr. Oz will be a leader in incentivizing disease prevention so they can get the best results in the world for every dollar the government spends on health care. Oz unsuccessfully ran for Senate in Pennsylvania as a Republican in 2022 and is an outspoken supporter of Trump.
All right, you know, there's something to say about this, and in defense of Trump's appointments of people who were on television, you know, you got to think about this. There's a reason these people were on television. They were on television because of their accomplishments. It doesn't mean that they're all perfect or that they're all great for the job, but these are not just like shallow TV stars. These are people that were on television because of their accomplishments, and so they're not being selected because they're TV stars. They're being selected because of, you know, their area of expertise. Republican senators are divided on what to do about Matt Gaetz. And now damaging reporting is starting to leak out.
An attorney says an unauthorized person gained access to a file containing confidential testimony from women who've made sexual allegations about former Representative Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump's pick to become the next attorney general. Attorneys involved in a civil case brought by a Gaetz associate were notified this week that an unauthorized person accessed a file shared between lawyers that included unredacted testimony from a woman who said Gaetz had sex with her when she was 17 and a second woman who said she saw the encounter. Gaetz has denied all the allegations, and the Justice Department ended its sex trafficking investigation without any criminal charges against him. I'm Norman Hall.
Now, Coleman, if this other person saw it, then obviously this was sex and stuff going on in the open. I mean, it wasn't behind closed doors. It just was like a big orgy.
Based on how it seems like the person was close to the person that saw it, like maybe it was like two or three people in the room. That's what it seems like based on how the report goes. I don't think it was out in like broad daylight in public.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, it's at this house, but people were standing around. I mean, it was like, okay, I'm not going to go into a private room. I'm just going to throw you down on the air hockey table.
Right.
And
something like
and
that.
By the way, keep those air things flowing and just do it there. So I don't know. She said she saw him, so I guess it was kind of out in the open. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says that Matt Gaetz should have his chance to make his case.
No rubber stamps and no lynch mob. I'm not going to be part of a process
that leaks information that shouldn't be leaked. I'm not going to legitimize the process to destroy the man because people don't like his politics.
You know, I hate to agree with that weasel, but I kind of agree with him. You know, let him make his case, but I don't think it's going to be good. And, you know, part of the case has to be the investigation against him. And that information, in fact, I think the House Ethics Committee is meeting today to determine what to do about the investigation. And I think it should be released. I don't think it should go away. And when people like Jim Jordan and others don't want it released, why don't they want it released? It's obviously bad. If not, they would want it released. So it's obviously really bad information. Maine Senator Susan Collins says the Senate must do its work regarding the Gates background check.
I was shocked by the nomination, given the many allegations, but that's why it's important that the Senate go through its process of making sure that we have a background check, that we have a Senate investigation, which involves extensive interviews and questionnaires, and then a public hearing.
All right, the head of FEMA gave testimony to Congress yesterday saying that her agency has nothing to hide regarding reports of anti-Trump bias.
FEMA's administrator says she supports an investigation of alleged anti-Trump bias in hurricane relief efforts. On Capitol Hill, Deanne Criswell says a critical function in hurricane relief efforts is to go door to door to tell people what resources are available. In one recent case,
this employee wrote to about 11 staff members under her supervision that they should, quote, avoid homes advertising Trump, end quote.
Criswell says that employee has been fired. She does not believe this is part of any widespread cultural problem at FEMA and welcomes an investigation.
Our goal is to help all people obtain all of the assistance that they need and that they are eligible for under the law.
A different team was sent into the field to contact all the homes that were skipped over at the employee's direction. Ed Donahue, Washington.
All right, that's it for Scoot's News Briefs. You know, look, word got out that this had happened, that this person said, okay, nobody with a Trump sign in their yard or on their house gets any FEMA assistance. You know, people suggest really bad things that are really bad ideas, but that didn't go through. It was exposed. It was stopped. And so it wasn't a problem. Yeah, it was a problem that somebody did that and the person was caught and exposed. So I think that was good. Now, the House has another problem. Sarah McBride, Democrat from Delaware, is the first openly trans state senator in U.S. history. She became the country's first trans U.S. congressperson elect when she won the election from the first district. Where does this person go to the bathroom? They have men's rooms, they have women's rooms. And there's already a move, and Nancy Mace, a Republican from South Carolina, has already introduced a bill, this happened on Monday, that would prevent this trans woman from using the women's bathroom at the U.S. Capitol. Marjorie Taylor Greene, in her infinite wisdom, supports the resolution. And she says that she would get into a physical altercation if this person or anybody born male is in the women's bathroom. You know, wouldn't it be cool If a trans person beat up Marjorie Taylor Greene? I mean, that would just be the greatest thing ever. But I don't know, Marjorie Taylor Greene looks a little manly to me. I mean, she kind of reminds me of a drag queen. And so she probably would win the fight.
See, Scoot, you have to be careful. Now people are going to assume that you support transgender males competing with women in sports.
No, I support them competing against against each other, directly head-to-head competition. Yeah, I would love to see a fight with a really buff trans woman who could, like, maybe kick Marjorie Taylor Greene's ass. I'd love that. Have any of you seen Sarah McBride? When you get a chance, you might be driving right now, Google Sarah McBride. Take a look at Sarah McBride and tell me what bathroom you think she should use. I'm looking at a picture of her right now. I think she should use the ladies' room. because she looks just like a woman. And guys are not going to want that person in the men's room. Guys are going to kick that person's ass or try to have sex with them in the men's room. Now, people are going to know who Sarah McBride is. So, you know, this is a slightly different situation. It's a public restroom facility at the House of Representatives, but everybody knows Sarah McBride was born a male. So maybe it's less of a problem at the House where everybody knows, you know, who she is. So if that person is in the men's room, they know it's not a woman. They know it's Sarah McBride, who was born a male. I understand the nature of this overall controversy. But when you look at somebody like Sarah McBride, this is a person that, you know, men, if men don't know this person, I'm talking about just a restroom in general. If men don't know this person and this person walks into the men's room, men are going to think this person is a woman in the men's room. Now, a lot of you may not know anybody who's trans. You may run into trans people during the day and you don't even know it. But I'm telling you, there are trans people, there are trans women who look just like women. Just like women. You want them in the men's room? You want somebody that looks just like a woman. And don't think you're going to be able to tell, because you're not. You want that person in the men's room? So anyway, interesting discussion. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said he's not getting involved. He's not going to even get engaged in this conversation. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I want to talk about the Trump dance. I did a video. It's posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I had a great show yesterday. I did the Trump dance as best I could. The question is the Trump dance a political statement? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back with your comments on WWL.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I remember when this song was first released, and I just thought this was a killer cover of Do You Want to Dance? I'm Scoot on the Air. So is the Trump dance a political statement? What do you think? You know, Republicans have said, you know, keep politics out of sports. You know, the taking of a knee by Colin Kaepernick and other football players, the taking of a knee was political. Keep that out of sports. Wearing pride colors or anything like that, keep that out of sports. But now a lot of Republicans are embracing the Trump dance. Now, a number of people have done this. San Francisco 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa did it to celebrate a sack recently. On Saturday, UFC fighter, heavyweight fighter, John Jones did it in retaining his heavyweight title. He did the Trump dance. Sunday, Detroit Lions defensive end Za'Darius Smith, Raiders tight end Brock Bowers, and Titans wide receiver Calvin Ridley, they all did at different times, they all did the Trump dance. On Sunday, LPGA British golfer Charlie Hull did the Trump dance going down the fairway. And on Monday, U.S. men's soccer team star Christian Pulisic celebrated the 4-2 victory over Jamaica by doing the Trump dance. And we had such a great show yesterday that in my office here at WWL, I celebrated having a great show by doing the Trump dance. And that is also on our Facebook page, Scoot on the Air Facebook, and you can check that out. I'll read a few of the comments to you. By the way, I also talked about the Coca-Cola flavored Oreo cookies, which we tested on the air yesterday for the first time. They're delicious. I mean, when you smell these, it smells like Coca-Cola, and I couldn't figure out how they could make a cookie taste like Coke, but you kind of taste the fizz when you just smell the cookie. And one side is the brown wafer, the traditional Oreo wafer. The other side is red, and it's the Coke flavor, and then there's the sugar filling in the middle. So I talked a little bit about that, but here are some of the comments from the SOTA Facebook page. Rocky says, that is disrespectful. Do the Biden dance. Oh, wait, he forgot how to do it. That's funny. Eddie says, a swift removal from the office by any means necessary. I don't know how that relates to this. Jason says, you can't even do the Trump dance right. Look, I did the best I could. You know, everybody has their own style of dancing. And I think I did an admirable job. It's not perfect, but it's there. At least I did it. And at least Jason's paying attention. Let's see. Greg says, is there a Kamala dance? There is. It's the dance that she used to get everything she ever got in life. Ha ha. Brian says, don't do that dance near the microphone. There's another move to it. Oh, well, I don't know about that other move to it. But, you know, I did sort of add in a little body language, because when Trump does the Trump dance, it's, you know, it's pretty stiff. I mean, he's stiff. And he doesn't really do much moving. So I added a little body movement to it. Let's see. Susan says, there's a Coca-Cola that is supposed to taste like Oreos. Yeah, we've heard about that. I haven't been able to see that yet. Here is a comment from Kim. You look much better doing the Trump dance. When Trump does it, he looks nasty. Well, maybe that's because you know his past. Anyway, you can comment on the SOTA Facebook page. Let's get to a few of your calls. The question is the Trump dance a political statement? From Terrytown, Bob, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, man. First of all, when you dance with rhythm. That's not a dance. Trump has no rhythm, so how can it be a dance?
Well, I know. I mean, we're just kind of calling it a dance. It's a movement. It's he's kind of moving his hands. We're not going to be too technical here, but it's being called the Trump dance because he did it to YMCA. You know, there was that unhinged rally that Trump had during the campaign where he just stopped talking and played 40 minutes of music and kind of did this, like, Trump move,
yeah,
which has been
Trump
called
dance,
the Trump dance.
Sound like an oxymoron to me, Trump and
well,
dance. No rhythm.
It's not much of a dance. I'll admit that. Bob, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Jess in Metairie. Hey, Jess. Hello, Jess.
Jess. You just let me say before you comment, but let me start out with some lightheartedness. If you want to surely not get women to dance with you and get another date due to Trump dance.
Yeah.
And I would love a pay-per-view with Marjorie Taylor fighting. And for once, somebody slapped the you-know-what out of her. but anyway.
And you know what? And let me tell you something, Jess. She's got a lot of that in her.
Yeah. But listen, I want to hurry up and say the serious stuff. I'm 70 years old, and all this hysteria about transgender, I have never seen, known of one in my life, none of my family. So all of a sudden, this hysteria, like they surrounded us, really, just like you said earlier, you wouldn't even know. So
no.
This is something created by Trump and these MAGAs that's making an issue of something that's not an issue, okay? So, but let me move on what I really wanted to say. I rarely disagree with you, Scoot, but when you talked about these qualified celebrity people, maybe they are qualified, Bailey, but there's so many people better qualified. And the truth is, just like the expert said, Trump learned from his first term that he had the gatekeepers, legitimate people, to prevent him from doing it. This time around, all these appointees like Matt Gaetz, they aren't going to be gatekeepers of all the illegal and unconstitutional, especially Gaetz. You think Gaetz is going to let an investigation of himself and Trump? I mean, this guy is. And then, I was in the military. The secretary appointee of the Secretary of Defense, okay, our most important position, he was a major in the National Guard. He wasn't a regular military lieutenant colonel, a colonel, a four-star general. There's so many people more qualified. There's tapes of him. He's a Christian nationalist. He's a danger. So these appointees, I mean, this isn't between Donald Trump and his appointees. It's just like Trump. It's the false reality of celebrity reality. So it's a danger, in my opinion, these people.
Well, Jess, I agree with that. I was just pointing out that these people were not born TV stars. That they did accomplish things, whether they're approved or not. Let's let the Senate do its job.
We got a majority of Republican Congress. But one last important thing.
Go ahead.
And that, if you don't mind, is about this border stuff. You know, this guy that called earlier, a New Norman show about the destruction of our country. Let's narrow it down to a city. In the past few years, all the carjackers and murders, as far as I know, they were all born and raised here. The mayor that's destroying the city, born and raised here. The surge of water by flood. Where is all this destruction of our country? You know where the destruction's going to be? When Trump gets rid of nationalized Latins, and a tariffs, we're going to have buyer's remorse. You know what's going to happen? The service industry people, the janitors, the people that pick our letters, they're going to be gone. And guess what? You're going to pay $10 for a head of lettuce, and the tariffs are going to up the prices. You're going to find out inflation and depression. You're going to have buyer's remorse. So anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, Jess, I think it's a good point. I mean, look, there's a strong possibility that if illegal immigrants are no longer allowed here, and they're not going to be doing many of the agricultural jobs out west, many in California, the price of food is going to go up. So that could cause inflation. I mean, we have to wait and see. I agree with Jess. I just made the comment about some of these TV celebrities and reality stars. They did other things. Are they the best qualified to do it? I don't know. Probably not, because, you know, Trump is looking for sycophants. He's looking for you know, booty kissers to be in his cabinet. And that's not necessarily, just because somebody kisses your booty doesn't mean they're the best person for the job. So again, you know, we'll have to see over time what happens. I just pointed out that they've done other things just be a TV star.
Yeah, whenever most people say that, you know, certain celebrities aren't qualified to do certain things in politics, as if nobody can multitask, I always think of Ronald Reagan and how he came power and how he became president, even though he started out as an actor. So it is possible, and most people would revere Ronald Reagan as an excellent president. They called him the great communicator. I think maybe his acting chops helped him become a good communicator to people.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, his experience as an actor, I mean, look, let's be honest. He was an actor as president, and he was able to just communicate in such a way that people felt comfortable. A lot of people in this country felt comfortable. Looking back, you know, we can see that we were developing a false sense of security in some ways with Ronald Reagan. All right, so here's the question, and I haven't given my opinion yet, but I will coming up. Is the Trump dance a political statement, and should Republicans be against the Trump dance because they don't want politics in sports? I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1973, Keith Moon passed out on his drum kit during a concert at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. The Who were on stage, and Keith Moon passed out. The Who selected an audience member to come up and play drums for the rest of the concert. It was 19-year-old Scott Halpin, and apparently he did a good job. Management said it was jet lag that was bothering Keith Moon, but apparently he had ingested a horse tranquilizer. Keith Moon was insane, and he would just do anything, so I'm not surprised. Did a horse tranquilizer, passed out on his drum kit. I mean, really, at what point in your life do you reach a point where, like, you know, you want to make life better by taking a horse tranquilizer? Wow. Anyway, an interesting situation that this guy was in. Got to go up there and finish the set with The Who. All right, let's go to Coleman. Ian's doing some work behind the scenes here at WWL today. Let's go to Coleman with some of your text messages.
All right, so this text message says, the Trump dance reminds me of a comedy bit from Eddie Murphy's early days where Eddie was imitating how bad white people dance. It was hilarious. And by the way, I'm white.
I'm not white. It's a dance. It's a dance that's it's pretty easy for white people to pick up on it. It was created by a white guy. There are a couple of comments on my Facebook page where people don't think I did a very good job. I think I did a good job with the dance. Now, it's interesting what Bill Maher said about the Trump dance. I can't really say it on the air, But Bill Maher said something to the effect of, it looked like he was making two people happy while he was dancing.
All right, this sex says, people are just mad that there's no Biden dance. The Biden dance would be falling over and tripping and slipping.
Or falling asleep. Yeah, I can't imagine Biden dancing. So go ahead. Let's do another one.
All right, I'll leave. Well, two more pretty good ones. So this one says, I hate all politics at sporting events, but can you really compare kneeling during a national anthem to the Trump dance?
Okay, one more.
And this one says, the way a person dance correlates to how they make... Well, I'll stop there.
How they, like, have sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard that, too. I hope I'm not judged in that way. But anyway, no, we had a great show yesterday, so I celebrated by doing the Trump dance. I added a little body language into it because, you know, Trump kind of stands there really stiff doing it, so I think I added a little soul to it. I don't think the Trump dance is a political statement. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's like pornography. Judges say, you know it when you see it. And some of it like might seem like pornography, but it's not really pornography. But there's stuff that just, it crosses the line. Okay, well, this is pornography. And kneeling is a political statement. Wearing LGBT pride colors has become a political statement. If you do that in sport, I mean, if you wear that in everyday life, that's not a problem. But if you do it in a sporting event, you're making a political statement. I don't think the Trump dance is a political statement. Because it's just it's a dance, and it's just kind of mocking a little bit of, Trump's moves, but it's not specifically promoting politics. So I don't consider it to be a political statement. But Abby Phillips on CNN said Republicans were losing their minds over politics being in sports with kneeling and pride colors, and now they're supporting the Trump dance. I understand the point she's trying to make, and there's plenty of hypocrisy out there, but I don't think the Trump dance, I mean, it's, you know, you're just kind of moving your closed fists kind of back and forth, and okay, you know, Trump did it, it's a Trump move, but I don't know, I just don't see that as a political statement. I don't think that's really bringing politics into sports, although, you know, technically, I guess you can say it is. But I don't think that's something that the NFL needs to worry about. Although, let's see. Who knows? The NFL may start to worry about that. All right, what do you think? Do you think the Trump dance is a political statement? I don't. It's just kind of a stupid little move that Trump invented. And it's so easy that white people can get it. Hell, sometimes when I dance, I'm sort of imitating... Bruce Springsteen in the Dancing in the Dark video, or Rick Astley when he was dancing to his songs. That there's a real typical Caucasian move out there, and I think I kind of just naturally fall into that sometimes. All right, coming up in the next hour, Rod Stewart, 79 years old, is going back on tour in North America. You think this is good? Is it good to see these aging rockers, or should they just give it up and let us remember them when they were younger? We'll talk about that next hour. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Today is a sad day on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar. The legendary Dr. John would be celebrating his 83rd birthday today, but the Night Tripper passed away in June of 2019. And I remember when that happened, and we talked about that on the show. Yeah, coming up next hour, let's talk about the aging rockers continuing to tour. I heard stories about Phil Collins reaching a point where he had to sit in a chair in order to perform. That would be hard for me to see. Great drummer. Would I want to see Phil Collins on stage sitting in a chair doing his songs? But yet if somebody is like mobile and can move around, I want to still see him even though they've gotten older. And we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. Also, Donald Trump's selection for the head of the FCC is threatening, and he did this on Fox News, threatening to punish CBS over a Kamala Harris interview when Trump takes office. Is this part of the retaliation against the media that disagreed with him? Is Trump going to use the FCC to attack people who disagree with him? I got a text a moment ago from somebody who said something to the effect of, I can't use his vulgarity, obviously not a very smart person, could only, you know, speak in vulgar terms. But basically, he thinks that I'm pleasuring Donald Trump because I'm afraid of what he might do. I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. Donald Trump can't do anything to me. So we're going to continue from 1 to 4 to be free here in the afternoon to just be honest. But I honestly believe that the Trump dance is not a political statement. So why should I not be honest about that? I'm Scoot on the air. We will be right back on WWL. What a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We are halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. And you have heard the colder weather is coming tonight and tomorrow morning. I'm ready for it. It's November 20th. Bring it on. All right, we got a few things to get to this hour. This is just in. This is just coming in. Breaking news. Donald Trump is not finishing appointing TV personalities to key cabinet positions. We've just learned that Donald Trump is appointing RuPaul to head the Department of Interior Decorators. So that's an interesting appointment. I'm sure there's going to be some backlash there. There's already a battle brewing over who Trump is going to have actually nominated by senators. And this is a battle that's taking place between Trump and Republican senators. There are a lot of Republican senators who are not going to go along with some of Trump's appointees. So it's going to be interesting to see how this battle takes place. But Donald Trump's not going to always get his way. No president always gets their way. And I don't think every president should get their way. Donald Trump wants to get his way. I mean, every president wants that. But Donald Trump and Project 2025 is really going to make it easier for Donald Trump to get his way when it comes to a lot of things. And I've talked about this a lot because I think this is a really scary thing in America. Trump's selection for the head of the FCC, Brendan Carr, is, in my opinion, a right-wing radical. He talks about protecting freedom of speech, which I love. And he's talking about using or talking about making certain that broadcast media uses the public airwaves to serve the public and maintain public integrity. But that cannot mean just protecting conservative speech. That cannot mean punishing liberal speech. And this person who's going to head the FCC said on Fox News that he's going to punish CBS when he gets in the position over the Kamala Harris interview. Do you know what they want to punish CBS about? About editing. Deceitful editing. Now, just about all of Donald Trump's interviews on Fox News were pre-taped and they were edited. And there were many interviews by Donald Trump, and this is all documented. There were many interviews by Donald Trump where Fox News edited out the ramblings, edited out the stupid stuff like the Haitian immigrants are eating pets. They edited out the things that made Donald Trump look dumb, things that Donald Trump actually said. Fox News edited that out. So why is that okay? But it's not okay to edit a Kamala Harris interview. And I'm not saying this to support Kamala Harris. She lost the race. I'm saying this to support the truth and what's right. And one of the most fundamental things in this country is the First Amendment. And we can't have the First Amendment attacked. And any attempt to mold a government into a government that uses the government to enforce the views of the president on the public and punishes opposition speech comes really close to defining fascism. And I know many Trump supporters were concerned that Kamala Harris was going to bring in fascism. But there are many aspects of Project 2025 that I think help define fascism in America. So again, I think it's going to be really interesting when there are going to be Republican senators who are going to disagree with some of the Trump appointments. And it'll be interesting to see that. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Joe in Covington. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Scoot, I'd like to make a comment about the nature of the situation in the world regarding Ukraine. Okay. First, are you familiar with a very old movie? It sort of reminded me of the times we're living in. You remember a movie called On the Beach?
No, I don't.
I think the movie's from 1959 or 58. They did a remake of it. I'm pretty sure it was a remake.
What was it about?
Gregory Peck, Ava Gardner, Fred Astaire. It was basically about the aftermath of a nuclear war.
Okay.
And where the last of the remnants of human society were living before they were contaminated by radiation fallout. That was in Australia.
Okay. Is this relating to what we're talking about, or is this just a random comment?
Well, it's a random comment. It'd be a good idea
Just got an idea and you just decided to call us and give us the idea. Okay, well, go ahead, Joe.
Well, okay, because the situation in the world demands people think seriously about where we are at in human affairs.
Okay, what's your concern?
And I think that we are in this situation that regarding what this apropos movie is.
Well, what's the situation? Because I haven't seen the movie, so what's the situation that you think we're in?
Well, I think what we're really in is any kind of misstep right now, what the United States might do in response to what Putin is doing in Ukraine could lead to that very sad and sorry possible event called World War III. And I don't believe that's, being hysterical and looking at it. I think it's true. And, they are actually making bomb shelters in Russia almost on a mass scale right now. They're producing bomb shelters. I don't know if you know that. That came out on the news.
Yeah, what news?
What's that?
What news did that come out on?
Well, it was on the news. I watch OAN, One American News. They
okay.
came out on that.
Well, I'm going to have to look a little deeper than that, Joe, because it's on, One American News doesn't mean it's real. I'm going to have to look into that a little further.
Well, I wish you would. That would be great because I'm concerned about it.
Yeah. Well, we built bomb shelters here in the 60s and nothing happened. And, we were in the Cold War then. We're not in the Cold War now, and I hope we don't go into the Cold War, Joe.
Well, I hope we don't have hurricanes either. But we do occasionally have hurricanes.
Well, we do, but we're not going to occasionally have World War III.
But this is something that, a lot of people think that Trump could bring this on.
Well, I thought electing Trump was going to remove the possibility of World War III. I thought Trump was saying during the campaign that we're on the verge of World War III, but if you elect me, I'm going to end all wars.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought so, too.
So you don't think that
maybe
anymore?
Maybe the Russians don't think that.
Yeah.
But Ukraine seems to be the tripwire in world affairs. I thought it might be North Korea, South Korea. But it seems to be...
Look, Joe, it's okay to be concerned about these things. I'm not as concerned as you are. I'm not naive, but I'm not as concerned as you are. And I hope you're wrong about this being a... close to a probability or more than just a possibility. I think we're okay. I think we're okay. I could be wrong, but I think, when it really comes down to it, I think calmer heads will prevail. And I don't think we're close to World War III. There have always been disruptions in the world. That is nothing new. But again, Donald Trump said during the campaign that he's going to end all wars and he'll be president in a couple of months. So according to Donald Trump, we don't have to worry about this. I think it's something we need to worry about beyond Trump's promise to end all wars, because it's not going to just be up to him. It takes other people to end tensions, and I don't know that Donald Trump can do it by himself. Hey, I hope he can. I mean, that would be great to never worry about war again. Let's go to Covington. Eric, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. I just wanted to say I was listening to you talk, and I was watching last night, and I saw Matt Taibbi on Chris Cuomo's show.
Okay.
And he was discussing the gentleman that was for FCC.
Okay.
And Matt Taibbi, I think you know, is not a conservative journalist, but he is a very good journalist. And he felt good about the pick.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and I don't know the man. I couldn't tell you.
Well, I don't know him either. I hope I'm wrong. I hope my concern is misplaced. I honestly do.
Well, absolutely. I think everybody hopes their concerns are misplaced. But I think what we've got to get to in this country is Democrats and Republicans are not the Saints and the Falcons. And we've got to quit treating it as such, that it's a win for our team is a loss for the other one.
Right.
Then we're going to have to decide, do we want to be Republicans, Democrats, or Americans?
Well, Eric, you're exactly right, and that's the problem. It's like both parties want to win, sometimes at the expense of what's best for the American people.
Oh, absolutely. And I think both parties do that. And it's something that, you know, I'm a Republican and always have been, but when I have Democratic friends and we talk about, oh, would you ever vote for a Democrat? Yes, and I have. I mean, we live in a state where we have Republican governors, Democratic governors. We're not locked into one party. And I think that makes us a little different than when you look at some of the other states who, you know, you have some very liberal states, like New York's predominantly mostly going to have a Democrat in the position.
But for a Democrat, for a Democrat to win in our state, I mean, we have Democrats that often act like Republicans. And so that's why some of the Democrats are, elected here. You know, one of the things that benefited John Bel Edwards was that he was pro-life. In a lot of cases, I believe. And there were things about him that made him a very Republican or very, very moderate to, at the very, very least. So, look, Eric, but I appreciate the call. I do have to get to a break here. All right. So at the age of 79, Rod Stewart's going on tour of North America. Is this good, or would you rather remember these aging rockers the way they used to be? You know, can you see an older rocker out there on the stage, and are you happy that you're seeing them, or do you wish that they would just kind of give it up and not do it and stay home and let us remember them the way they were when they were in their prime? And is there an aging rocker that you saw that made you wish you didn't see them? Because you can't unsee something or somebody. You know, you see it and it's there. Is there anybody that you saw that you wish you hadn't seen them because they were just too old and you wish you would have had the memory of them in the past and not the new memory? If you want to join us with your comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. At 79, Rod Stewart is going back on tour in North America. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Should some of these rockers just give it up? I'm Scoot on the air. I don't think so. I love seeing these guys. Now, I have to admit that, you know, maybe there are some who should not tour. I have not seen an aging rocker that should not be touring today. And I'm talking about Rod Stewart, Rick Springfield, Chicago, Duran Duran. I mean, they're getting older. They're not like aging. They're not like baby boomer age. But they're getting older. I think it's really great that these older performers are still performing. Now, I heard and I never saw him, but I heard that there was a time when Phil Collins recently was doing shows, was doing concerts, sitting in a chair because he couldn't stand up for the whole show. That would be hard for me. For example, if Rod Stewart was touring and he couldn't stand up, I don't want that memory of Rod Stewart. And once you see something, you can't unsee it. Let's go to Courtney VIP. She's in the traffic center. Oh, she had to go. Oh, she's not there. She had to go pick up baby girl. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll check back with her later. All right. Well, just in a moment, we're going to go to Coleman with some of your text messages. But I have enjoyed seeing all of the performers that are continuing to perform today. But again, if somebody's sitting in a chair, that would be hard to see. I don't want that. If you can't do a show, if you could still look, Mick Jagger has slowed down a little bit, but man, he's still kicking it on stage. And Mick Jagger is like an athlete. Rod Stewart still looks great. I mean, he's like one of the fashion kings of rock. And I mean, he's aged. So have I. I mean, we all have aged. But I think there's something really cool about seeing these aging performers still performing today. Rick Springfield looks incredible. I mean, Rick Springfield is probably, he's 74 or 75. He is ripped. I mean, even later in life, you can look better than you looked when you were younger. I mean, Rick Springfield, you know, sometimes the last number of the show, he takes his shirt off, and you would not believe the way this guy looks. In fact, I'll post a picture of this sometime this afternoon after the show. I'll post a picture because we're talking about whether or not people should still be performing at an older age. And I think so. Yeah, do it. But Rick Springfield looks great. So I'll post that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. But for Rod Stewart to be 79, he's not going to be maybe kicking as high as he used to kick on stage because Rod Stewart had this signature kick little move. Dancing, it might not be as fluid as it once was, but he still looks great. I think he should still be doing it. But is there anybody that you saw that you just really kind of felt sorry for him? And you thought, you know, maybe they shouldn't still be touring. Is anybody that you can think of? If you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Let's go to Coleman with some of your text messages.
Yeah, this text asks, I wonder if Rod will be singing Do You Think I'm Sexy at 79.
You know, I guarantee you there are women who still think Rod Stewart is sexy. Now, some of the groupies with Rod Stewart might be a little older than they used to be, but I bet he's still got a lot of groupies. And, you know, a lot of older men have, you know, a lot of older rockers have groupies, so... You know, I think he might sing that song, and I think it might still be appropriate. And all these people, all these boomer rockers who are aging, man, they've got, like, young people at their shows, too, that know the lyrics to every one of their songs. So it's multi-generational.
This text says, I love Stevie Nicks, but my wife and I went to go see her at the Last Dance, and it broke my heart. It was slow. She was slowly moving, rambling throughout the concert, and singing songs much slower. It was still good to see her, but she doesn't sound like the old singer that I grew up with.
You know, I've seen Stevie Nicks recently, and she's, let's just say she's not using Ozempic, and she does seem to have slowed down a lot. So, yeah, you know, if a rocker has slowed down a lot, I don't know. How do you feel about it? I mean, a rocker has slowed down a lot like Stevie Nicks, but she's so legendary. Don't you just still enjoy seeing her? I mean, I think I would still want to see Stevie Nicks, even though she's slowed down, because it's Stevie Nicks. But, yeah, she has slowed down a lot.
This text says, I saw Rod Stewart in the late 90s. I got thrown out of the show and my date got arrested. I married that woman years later.
Wait, went to the Rod Stewart show, he got thrown out.
And the date that he went to go see the Rod Stewart show, we got arrested.
The date got arrested and he ended up marrying the person that got arrested?
That's what I'm assuming from this text.
Wow.
I mean, hey, she sounds like a winner.
Yeah, sounds like fun. She's fun at parties.
This text kind of speaks to me, and we haven't talked about this because we didn't do the show since the Netflix thing, but this thing says, I wish I had not seen Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we never got a chance to talk about it. How'd you feel when you saw
it? I thought it was sort of set up. I thought they both pretty much agreed to not punch each other too hard. Mike Tyson, after the first round, it was sad. Yeah. I mean, it was sad. At 58, look, I mean, boxing is even different than doing a concert, you know. So I thought he was too old to do it. And, you know, you can't unsee that. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, you've got an image of Mike Tyson from the past. And if you watch the fight with Jake Paul, you can't unsee what you saw. And seeing Mike Tyson was really, really sad.
All right, a couple more. This one says, I saw Peter Frampton in Biloxi. He was in a wheelchair due to medical issues, but he can still rock the guitar.
All right, now, if you're in a wheelchair temporarily for a medical issue and you're still brave enough to do the show, I think that's cool. But if you're confined to a wheelchair, I mean, I don't know. You know, some performers, I think I would still, I don't know, I still might want to see it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I might still want to see somebody. I mean, I'm not a big enough Phil Collins fan. He did great songs, but I'm not a big enough fan of Phil Collins to want to go see him if he's sitting down for a concert. Like, Elton John's a great example. I saw Elton John on one of his many farewell tours. And, you know, Elton, he's big, and he's really, really slow. And actually, it was the first time I'd ever seen Elton John. But I know what he used to be like. And so I'm watching him, and I'm thinking it's a little bit sad. It's a little bit funny, this feeling I have inside. Not one of those who can easily hide. Don't have much money, but if I did, I'd... Anyway, it was kind of sad, but it was Elton John. So I felt, okay, I'm seeing Elton John, so that's cool. I saw Cher last time she was here. And, you know, I thought Cher just still looked great. I don't know that she's moving as fast as she used to, but I thought she still looked great.
Yeah, and it also depends on what kind of performance you expect to see from the, if it's like a, let's say Elton John, like you just said, he's known for playing the piano. He doesn't have to have that much mobility to, you know, to sit down and if you want him to tickle the ivories and sing. But if you grew up with like Michael Jackson and he got to the point where he couldn't moonwalk anymore, it does take something out of it. So if you're a performer that kind of sings or you can play the guitar, even if you're in a wheelchair, it doesn't take that much from it. But if you are like Madonna or Cher and you move around a lot like Taylor Swift or Beyonce, and then you throw your hips out, then it's kind of like, okay, I came to see this vibrant performance, but all they can do is just sit there and kind of sing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Coleman. But Elton John, I mean, he used to get up on the piano. I mean, even though he was the piano player, he kicked it behind that piano. He was very active. You know, Elvis is a good example. You know, a lot of people saw Elvis, and he was fat and he was slow, and you know, couldn't remember words, and sometimes he would read lyrics. And you know, that was kind of a pathetic sight, but a lot of people felt like, hey, I'm seeing Elvis, and that's all that really matters. But, you know, I think sometimes performers ought to either get in shape or just not do the show. Simon Le Bon, there are pictures of Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran, and he looks terrible. He's bloated. He gained a lot of weight. But you know what? He lost it. And today, he looks great. And the last time they were at the Smoothie King Center, he looked awesome. So, you know, get in shape. And again, I'm going to post this picture of Rick Springfield at one of the IP Casino concerts where he took off his shirt for the last song, Jesse's Girl. And this guy, I'll put his age. For his age, he looks incredible. And to me, Mick Jagger looks incredible. And so for me, that's an inspiration to, you know, even as you get older, to do the best you can to look as good as you can. So is it cool that Rod Stewart at the age of 79 is going back on tour? I think so. And is there a performer that you saw that you wish you hadn't seen them later in life because they just look too old? The Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Here's a song about sex, and you actually hear the sounds of sex in the song. It peaked at number 4 on the Hot 100 chart on this day in 1976. Just listen to these horrible, nasty, nasty lyrics. The sounds of sex. Two muskrats going at it. This baby boomer music is just disgusting. The things that baby boomers used to tolerate back in the day. No wonder their parents' generation thought they were a lost generation. A song about muskrats getting it on. I'm Scoot. Let's go to a few of your calls. Let's go to New Orleans. And Jonah, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, man, I went to a concert with Anita Baker. And she sound exactly the same. I mean,
cool.
Pure voice. You know, but one person you may not know, he's a R&B singer, Alexander O'Neill. Horrible. His voice, I believe he had some drug issues back in the days and drinking, and it kind of messed with his throat. And, man, it's terrible what happened. But two people, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go, Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
Sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
And and a gospel group called the Clark Sisters have never changed.
And they're older? They've been doing it for a while?
Oh, man. Yes, indeed. They've been doing it for, at least 40 years, man.
Oh,
at least
cool.
40 years, the group, the Clark Sisters. I mean, when I tell you, haven't missed a beat as far as in singing and harmony, exactly the same.
That's awesome. Jonah, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on WWL.
How's it going, Scoop?
Good, Gary.
I want to bring up a name that, man, I don't know if you saw him perform, but Charlie Wilson. I saw him at the Essence Festival maybe 3 years back in the middle of the summer hot, and this dude had a suit on, and he didn't take it off. And he's a great vocalist, but more so the performing, man. He's great. I saw him at the Essence Festival also. Last year, the same thing.
He's just still great.
Oh my geez, it's insane for him to perform as long as he perform, and just his voice sound the same. He moved good. I mean, he's got to be in his late 60s, and man, he I've seen him maybe 3 times, and every time I've seen him, he give you the exact type of performance.
That's it's awesome
great for him to be. Yeah, he's good.
And Gary,
really
what's great about that is it shows you that you can get older, but you don't have to give up. You know, man, you can still take care of yourself. You could still be in good shape, and if you put the effort forward, man, you can. You know, you don't have to act your age. You can act like you were younger, and it's a good message for everybody.
And he's a guy that also dealt with some issues. Some drug issues, and he came back and rehabilitated himself.
Good.
And he's doing great. But man, I when I was listening to everything, if you ever get a chance to see him, make sure you take advantage of it.
I will. Gary, thank you very much for that. Robin Zander of Cheap Trick, I've seen them kind of recently, and they were at Family Draw not long ago. Robin Zander looks great. And Robin Zander is still hitting the high notes. Not everybody can do that. And then I talked to Lori Morgan yesterday, the country music artist. Talked to her on the show yesterday. Lori Morgan is doing her Ruby Anniversary Tour. That's 40th Anniversary Tour. She's going to be at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center tomorrow night. And a great place to see anybody. Really, it's a gem of a venue. And there's plenty of free parking for everybody. So I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. So, you know, it's interesting sometimes to just talk about the people who are still performing. And, you know, I applaud Rod Stewart for going out there at 79 and doing it. And, again, you know, maybe he's a little bit slower. And, you know, there's a few more wrinkles here and there. But so what? You know, he looks good. What about Mick Jagger and the Stones at Jazz Fest? I mean, how incredible was that? And Mick, I mean, look, the Stones, you know, Mick Jagger's not, you know, he's not spending any money on cosmetic surgery. You know, this guy just looks the way he looks, and he looks the way, you know, he looks like somebody his age. And maybe he slowed down just a little, but he's still kicking it on stage for his age, and I'm assuming Rod Stewart's going to do the same thing. So I think it's great when these performers continue to perform. Now, in some cases, maybe you get to the point where it's better for people to have the lasting memory of you from the past and not who you are today. Again, depending on how mobile you are, and not necessarily how you look, because everybody gets older, but just your ability to perform. If you still have the ability to perform, then I say get out there and do it. All right, today we wish a happy birthday to Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh with the Eagles, but man, as a young DJ, I love this song, and I remember playing this song when it was a hit back in the 70s. Joe Walsh was also with James Gang, and this was their big hit, Walk Away. So, Joe Walsh, 77 years old today. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, we are halfway to the weekend. It's going to get cold tonight. It'll be cold tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. Mike Dettillier is live with Sports Talk from the Thibodaux Regional Health System Wellness Center in Thibodaux. That's coming up next here on WWL. Got a text here that says, aren't you a baby boomer dissing baby boomers? Well, you know, I'm honest about my generation, and sometimes I'm a hostile witness to the boomer generation. Here is a text that says, I saw a video of Johnny Cash's last performance. It was a small venue, and his voice quivered. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people, I think, need to kind of give it up. Hey, I didn't mention that Rod Stewart's tour in North America, the opening act, is Cheap Trick. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of The Scoot Show, Ian Hoke, studio producer Coleman, market manager Dan Barron, traffic with Courtney P., and news anchor Chris Miller. Thanks for being with us. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.